Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast helping us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're continuing in our Lent devotional series, looking at the ancient practice of Lent. And we're focusing, as we have on other Fridays, on fasting. Today, we're going to look at the process and connection of fasting and the way of Jesus. First, let's read it in. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. In the early part of the Gospel of Matthew, one clear climactic moment is Jesus' baptism. It's the moment when he goes public in Israel as the Son of God. What immediately follows is Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, directed there by the Holy Spirit. And he participated in the long-standing practice of God's people, fasting. For 40 days, he ate nothing. This fast was not a random idea Jesus had, but he was participating in the long history of God's people forgoing food in their pursuit of God. More on that as we've been exploring over the last couple of weeks. The prophets Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Joel, and Zechariah all included lengthy conversations about fasting, and here, in Matthew 4, we find Jesus doing the very same thing. So when we ask the question, is fasting for me? Is this something that I should be concerned with? The first part of the answer is that Jesus himself saw this as a vital part of his devotional life. Now, we could assume this was a one-time thing for Jesus, that he did it for himself but didn't expect others to follow him. And yet, in the very next section of Matthew, we find a provocative idea in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. He says this, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your heavenly Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." The Sermon on the Mount is a beautiful depiction of the kingdom of God and what is increasingly true of those who live in the kingdom, i.e., Jesus' followers. So when he gets to a discussion of fasting, notice that he doesn't give a command to fast, but from the very beginning of verse 16, he simply assumes that we will be fasting. His command is about how to do something we are, of course, already doing. So when we ask the question, is fasting for me? The second part of the answer is that even though Jesus does not command it for his people, he assumes that we're following his practice and his model. Finally, we need to look at the ongoing practice of followers of Jesus in the early church. The book of Acts is full of accounts of fasting, Acts 13 being a great example. It's the moment the apostles gather and commit themselves to prayer and fasting as they seek to hear from the Lord about a significant decision they must make. So when we ask, is fasting for me? The third part of the answer is that even in the early church, followers of Jesus continued the practice as a normal part of their devotional lives. It was not a fringe, radical thing set aside only for the most devoted followers. This was a normal part of the devotional life of every follower of Jesus. Friends, when we talk about fasting, we have to see that this was part, a normal part, of the way of Jesus. And yet there's a reason why we need to start here. For most followers of Jesus in the West, fasting feels archaic. It feels weird. It may even feel a bit too religious. And to some extent, that may be true. But if we look at the landscape of our own spiritual lives, how many have at least some sense that something is missing? How many of us feel stuck in a rut of reading passages we've already read before, voicing prayers almost on autopilot? If that's you, could it be that there's something you've missed? Could it be that you have unintentionally neglected a normal part of the way of Jesus that has unknowingly stunted our spiritual growth and enjoyment of God? Now, let's take a moment to pray it up. Today, Lord, I ask you help me to be honest with you and myself. Reflecting on apathy this week, I can't help but think about seasons when I have grown apathetic in following Jesus. Maybe that season is right now. Your word seems dry. You seem quiet. And my affections have turned on to something else. Something that for the moment promises to meet and satisfy some of the deepest longings I have. Today, Lord, cut through the fog of apathy. Awaken my senses and let my affections stumble from their slumber, fixed firmly back on you, that I would find and take hold of the life that is truly life, and be like the tree in the desert planted near streams of living water. As you consider fasting today, friends, think about this not as a fringe radical step, but as a normal part of following Jesus. Maybe it's giving up one meal. Maybe it's giving up all meals today. But as we fast, we join in the long history of God's people seeking deeper, more meaningful connection with Him. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back tomorrow.